And now we'll go to God's Word and celebrate it through His Word here in Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 31 through 37 of Romans. Beginning in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. So, for us is our title this morning. Romans chapter 8, for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would use your word now in our hearts as we celebrate the resurrection of our wonderful Savior. Lord, may we be reminded what it really means to us as your children, that it is the heart of our faith system that Jesus died and rose again. And Lord, that we would be motivated to tell others as well that they can be rescued from their sin through the Savior. So Lord, thank you for what He did for us as we think about that through your word. I pray you'd guide us in your truth, and I pray that Jesus would be magnified, in whose name we pray. Amen. You'll see that phrase in this passage, for us, a lot. Because Easter, my friend, was for us. It wasn't for God. It was for us. Jesus did not die for himself. He died for you and for me. He did not rise again for himself. He rose again for you and for me. And Easter is all about what our Creator did for us. And as a result of those who trust Him, what He did, trust in His salvation, God has done a lot more for us, of which we're unworthy. But that's how God is. It's not about our worthiness, it's about who He is and about His love and His mercy and His grace. So notice verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you're a born-again Christian this morning, God is for you. Amen? You're on God's side. You're on the winning side. And He is 100% for you. David said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? In Psalm 118, verse 6. God is on your side. God says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, He said, the Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Our God is for us. And as we saw there in verse 37, we're more than conquerors through Him. So as we contemplate that God is for us, I want us to see in this passage the many things that God has done for us as a result of what happened that Easter weekend. And notice verse 32, He that spared not His own Son. He that spared not His own Son, our Heavenly Father, spared not His own Son that we might receive eternal life. And of course, that was the atonement, if you will, the propitiation, the satisfaction of God's wrath was accomplished through Calvary. But He says there in verse 32, but He delivered Him up for us. Jesus Christ was delivered for us. Hallelujah. And when He was delivered, He of course became our substitution, our justification. He became our imputation and our redemption. And we were allowed adoption, and we looked at all of these wonderful things that God did for us at salvation recently during the lockdown in our Sunday school study. But God did it for us. He delivered Him up for us. Go to Galatians 3:13. I want you to see that Jesus Christ became a curse for us. Notice the Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Imagine that. That the perfect, sinless Son of God was made a curse for us. The Bible says God gives us His righteousness. He hath made Him to be sin for us. There in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He became sin. He became a curse for us. Now, if you would look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, we'll see that because of what Jesus did, we have received everything. We've received, as I mentioned, redemption and adoption and regeneration. But notice Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us. There it is again. Jesus Christ gave Himself for us. He became a curse for us. He was delivered up for us. And that really is the heart of the Easter message, isn't it? The gospel. That Jesus died at Calvary and rose again for us. Go back to our passage, verse 32. He that delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? This is where it's really exciting. That Jesus Christ died and rose again that we might have salvation. But once we become God's child, God then gives us much more. How much? All things. He gives us His own presence in the person of the Holy Ghost. He gives us His limitless grace. He gives us the peace of God, which passes all understanding. He gives us direction. He gave us His Word. He even gives us a home in heaven. Imagine that. Do we deserve that? Absolutely not. So I want us to look at a couple of things. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40, if you would. But I want you to understand this morning that God delivered up Jesus Christ for us, but because of what happened that day or that weekend, and because that we have trusted in Jesus Christ through the gospel, God now freely gives us all things. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 40. God, having provided some better thing for us. The earth is beautiful and wonderful and declares the glory of God, but my friend, God has provided something better for us through Jesus Christ. A home in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus has gone to prepare a place because God has freely given us all things. If you would look at Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to see that because of Jesus, God has made you completely acceptable. He's given you an inheritance. Notice Ephesians 1 verse 6. It says, to the praise of His glory, the praise of His glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You are now 100% acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Your acceptability to God is not based on your behavior. It's based upon who you are in. And that is Jesus. Look down in verse 14 of the same chapter, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You and I have an inheritance in Jesus because we are now joint heirs with Christ. And all of this God has given us. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. We can't pay for it. He's just given it to us because of Jesus Christ and the fact that He died and rose again for us. So back to our passage, I want you to see, as Michael and Maggie just sang, not only did God deliver Him up for us, not only does God freely give us all things, but notice verse 34, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There it is again, for us. And we really won't completely understand this until we get to heaven. But as we learn from the book of Job, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus Christ is the one that paid the price for our sin. And he intercedes on our behalf in heaven. He's called our great high priest. And we'll look at Hebrews 9:24 and we'll see this. But Jesus Christ is our intercessor. He is our advocate. He is our high priest. All of this is for us, this intercession. Notice Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Look at those last two words. For us. He appears in the presence of God for us. And because he died and rose again, God did that for us, that he might give us all things. But also now, Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. Hallelujah. For the kindness and goodness of God. So back to our passage, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Because of what happened at Calvary, you cannot be separated from the love of Christ. Now, there are people who teach that you can, but they're wrong. We didn't read it, but down on verse 38, I'm persuaded, Romans 8, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You cannot be separated from the love of Christ. God did that for us. He made us secure in Jesus Christ. Look at Jude verse 1, if you would, and I'll show you this. Jude verse 1, but Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The Bible says that he says in John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. We are safe and secure in Christ. Notice Jude 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, you are preserved. And the people that teach you can lose your salvation are saying that God's preservation isn't strong enough to hold you. Think about that. No, we cannot be separated from God. And he gave us that security, that preservation. He did that for us. We don't deserve that, but we have it. Hallelujah. And because Jesus was willing to go to Calvary and die on our behalf and come back and conquer death and rise again from the dead, God did all that for us that he might, as we read there in verse 32, give us all things. And we could spend the whole day talking about all the things that God gives us through Jesus. And Jesus, as we see in verse 34, makes intercession for us. And as we see in verse 35, we cannot therefore be separated from the love of Christ. But verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. There is no reason any Christian should live a defeated Christian life. Because the devil's the one that's been defeated. Amen? We are more than conquerors. But you got to finish the verse. Through him that loved us. We're not more than conquerors in our own strength. We're just weak and weary and wicked sinners. But through him we are more than conquerors. 2 Corinthians 2:14, turn there if you would. But I want you to understand this morning that because of what happened, 2,000 years ago at Calvary, because Jesus died for you, because he rose again, God wants to give you all things. Jesus Christ intercedes for you in heaven. You cannot be separated from his love. But I want you to also understand that you are now a conqueror. The devil's already been defeated. And that through him, as that's why he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notice 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. God wants us to live the triumphant Christian life because of what happened at Easter. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to destroy, John 10:10. He says, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He did not die and rise again so that we could walk around with our head down, all defeated. He did it so that we could have a triumphant, victorious Christian life, because we are conquerors through him that loved us. And God wants us to live that way. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, and we'll see it again. But you can claim, as we saw earlier in the passage, God is on your side. And that's the right side to be on, amen? The side of the Creator. Later on, we're going to be answering some of the questions in our Sunday school class about the devil. People are always asking questions, where did he come from? Why did God allow him to sin and so forth? Some Christians are so afraid of the devil. Listen, the devil's real and he's powerful. But Jesus created the devil. And through Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Look at 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not because of who we are, but because of who we are in. And because of who we have trusted, because of who was willing to die and rise again for us. God did all of that for us. Verse 32, he spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us. Verse 34, it is Christ that died and that rose again. This is about Jesus and what he did for us. And because he was willing to do all that for us, the Heavenly Father, as we see in verse 32, is willing to give us. What does it say? All things. A lot of Christians want you to believe, no, just some things. Not everything. Don't ask for too much from God. That's not what it says. He gave us all things, but because of Jesus. And then as we see in verse 34, Jesus now actually stands in heaven as our advocate, as our go-between, and makes intercession for us in heaven as our great high priest. And you can't be separated from him. So we see in verse 35, nothing can separate us. And that was a long list Paul gave there in Romans 8, wasn't it? Height, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor famine, nor peril, nor nakedness, nor sword. And that's just part of the list. He says nothing can separate us from the love of God. You cannot be separated from God's love. You are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of all of that, we can claim, because of what happened Easter 2,000 years ago, verse 37, that we are more than conquerors. So let's live like conquerors. Because Jesus died and he rose again for you and for me. He did it for us. That we might have eternal life, that we might have victory, that we might have all things, that we might have one who intercedes for us, that we might be secure in the love of Jesus Christ and have an inheritance in him, but that we can be more than conquerors. This is for now. You know, a lot of our inheritance is in the future, isn't it? Being able to be with God and walk on streets of gold and have a mansion. But God wants us to be a conqueror now. And with the shield of faith and the armor of God, we can do it. Because we already have Christ. And the devil's already been defeated. He lost on that day that Jesus came back from the dead. And he knew it. And we won. Amen. Those of us that are born again. God did all of this for us. And you know, in return, what he asks for us to do for him is now to serve him, to worship him, and to tell others about him. He did all that for us. He gave it to us as a gift. He didn't ask us to earn it or pay for it. But he says, now I want you to be a conqueror for me. Go out and tell others about what Jesus did on the Calvary so they can also have the victory through what he did. So they can also be a conqueror through God. All of that was done for us. Hallelujah. That's what Easter's about. And that's what we should be praising the Lord for all day, every Sunday, every day of the week, every day of the year. Thank you, God, for what Jesus did for me. And I pray that you'll help me now to live the life you want me to live on earth, that I'll be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. That all that was done for us. Now, this is only talking to those who have trusted Christ. There are many who reject Christ, who have not acknowledged what he did at Calvary. They've not acknowledged that they're a sinner and that because of their sin they deserve to go to hell. They've not come to that point of realizing that the only way they're going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And they haven't yet acknowledged these things and asked Jesus to be their Savior. This message is not for them. None of these great truths are for a person who has not yet trusted Christ. If you have trusted Christ, praise God. If you haven't trusted Christ, you need to. And I hope that you would. You just need to acknowledge you're a sinner and repent and ask Jesus Christ to save you. And he promised that he would. And he would make all of these things true for you. Because when he hung on that cross, he did it for us. Remember that. It was all for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word and for reminding us.